Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 6.
I eat my feelings. Starvation can do that to a kitty. I vividly remember the first time I could inhale all I wanted and then did. It was well worth the heaving hairballs which followed. Prior to Nancy Neptune squashing my paw with her convertible, I had been living on the most dreadful debris left in her parking garage. I thought it was only right that I be taken in after the ordeal. The endless buffet of kitty food from a can which followed was beyond my wildest dreams. I graduated to people food once my life expectancy was drastically shortened by one of the many shenanigans orchestrated by Neptune. She tangled with the wrong muchacho down in Tijuana, and we both took a beating. The doctor didn't give me a good chance of survival. I guess someone forgot to mention we get 9 lives. I think Neptune has a few to spare as well. I was impressed by how quickly she bounced back. Neptune moved to New York after they let her out of the hospital, while I was given to the twins at Gecko's Gulch. One thing I love about these girls is their willingness to share whatever it is they're eating. I've grown accustomed to fish stick dinners and ice cream snacks. I'll admit to packing on a few pounds. I actually thought love handles were a good thing until Harriet, the kitten caboodle of my dreams, had the nerve to fat shame me. Things are even worse now that Evangeline, the 5-year-old who belongs to Harriet, is spending time at Gecko's Gulch. Evangeline is a nervous eater, forcing me to sample everything on her plate before the slightest morsel passed through her lips. I feel like she's making me play Russian roulette with food. Harriet claims I've grown so big I can shade all of Juniper Hollow, the abandoned property where she still lives. Harriet doesn't hide her contempt for those who overindulge. Perhaps this is because she has to scrape and scrounge just to stay alive. Been there, done that, sister. Humiliated, I tried to cut back, only to be coerced into overeating by Taj Wakefield. Just for the record, there isn't a cat alive who would refuse his offerings. Taj makes the type of meals most kitties can only dream of. Taj even smells delicious, which is why I usually bunk with him after I purr my twins off to sleep.
Chapter 6. Taj Wakefield.
The words, "I'm not the one having an affair," landed like a full-throttle punch to the gut. My dad has never even spanked me, but this hurt worse than any blow from a steroid-saturated boxer ever could. Of course I knew my parents were having problems. You'd have to be Helen Keller deaf not to have heard their fights. They usually ended with Mom accusing Dad of stepping out. My parents started dating while Dad was still married to someone else. It's possible she had a point. Mom is currently stashed away in some food treatment center in New York City. I'm not allowed to visit, even though she's supposed to be there for a few months. I can't figure out why someone needs therapy to learn how to eat. It seems pretty simple to me. You get hungry, you put something in the old cereal cruncher. I guess things are different with Mom. Dad claims Mom has been using her job at the airlines as an excuse to stay extra thin. I fell for that one myself. How many fat people have you seen working the aisles on a flight? Dad spent 3 days at Gecko's Gulch. I pretty much ignored him the first day, blaming him for causing me to lose yet another mom. It's completely whack that someone who is only 14 has already run through two mommies. As someone who escaped the Taliban, you'd think I'd be a little more careful about the way I talk to the man who helped rescue me. I'm not that smart. "I'm not sure what you did to her, Dad," I said. "Whatever it was must have been bad enough to make Mom move all the way to the other side of the country just to get away from us." I was royally ticked. Just to make sure Dad knew it, I said, "Thanks for cheating on Mom." Dad got real quiet like he does when he's totally pissed. I barely heard his remark about not being the one who was having an affair. He practically growled it, which kind of scared me. We were alone in the courtyard at Gecko's Gulch, slurping mugs of Rowdy's Righteous Root Beer. Deep down, I knew Dad was telling the truth. I slammed my soda on the cast iron table, causing it to fizz up and spill over. Bolting out of the compound, I got on the ATV I normally ride. For once, Skitters didn't have time to jump in my cargo bin, so I jetted off alone. I have no desire to ever go back to the Oasis. I headed for Legacy Grove instead. It's the only place other than the Oasis where there's reliable shade. I paced up and down the rows in the orchard, muttering things like, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not gonna take it anymore," and "Mean people suck." I didn't have a specific person I was referring to. I just remember seeing that on a t-shirt and thinking, yeah, mean people do suck. The branches of the trees at Legacy Grove were drooping with oranges. There's no way I'd ever eat one of those again, even though I was missing lunch. One of our first missions this summer was to down one of those grody orange grenades. Under normal circumstances, that shouldn't be such a big thing, but the navels in Legacy Grove are blood red on the inside and taste like incense. Brandon and I barfed all night after that mission. Even worse, my poop the next morning was a disturbing shade of orange. Missing meals isn't my thing. I don't know how Mom can stand it. When I get hungry, that's all I can think about. I knew they were having a barbecue at Gecko's Gulch for dinner. I was still mad, but not enough to turn my back on pork ribs. Everyone was trying to act like nothing happened when we sat down to eat. I felt like I was being patronized. Don't they know how infuriating that is? I spent the rest of the evening in Brandon's TV room playing video games. I was so unhinged, I even let Brandon win on purpose. At least someone was happy. I passed by Dad's room on my way to bed. I thought about apologizing, but decided not to when I heard something that sounded like crying. Wow, Dad's never done that before. He was always the one in control when Mom went zonkers. I wasn't sure what to do, so I sat on the floor outside his room and listened. It was the saddest thing ever. I felt like the biggest a-hole in the world. I don't remember falling asleep in the hallway, but I woke up with a horrible neck cramp. It felt like my muscles had been tacked down in opposite directions. There weren't any more noises coming from Dad's bedroom. I knocked softly. Dad's voice sounded like he'd just gargled a box of razors. I went in and crawled under the covers. Dad put his arm around me and I fell back asleep. In the morning, I noticed Skitters was sleeping between us. I didn't recall seeing him the night before, but Skitters has a strange habit of popping up where you least expect him. I flashed back to the morning after Brandon and I smoked some weed we found growing in the Oasis. I had left Skitters at Gecko's Gulch on purpose, just in case the mission went badly, which it most definitely did. I don't believe in any sort of hoodoo voodoo, but hanging out in the Oasis is like stepping into another dimension. I thought that before I went off the mental reservation by toking on some of that sticky orange oasis weed. Brandon acted like he was getting measured for a straitjacket. At first, I thought he was just yanking my chain. Then he started breathing real hard, like he was hyperventilating or something. It took a long time to get Brandon calmed down enough to make it back to Gecko's Gulch. We were way too wasted to ride the ATV. We got lost so many times, we really shouldn't have even been walking.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. Whether you're going on a trip or just tripping, Quirky Cannabis Country is the perfect audiobook to take on your next adventure. Find out what happens when a group of extreme kooks gathers to participate in a reality TV show near an oasis of kick-ass cannabis. Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get it today on audible.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
3 grilled cheese sandwiches later, Brandon had mellowed out enough to sleep. I was wide awake, trying not to drown in a wave of paranoia. My parents had only been gone about a week, so I hadn't heard about the divorce yet. Still, I got a nauseating feeling like something was horribly wrong. It was mid-morning in South Africa, so I called Mom. She said all the usual mom stuff, but I could tell she was sad. Thinking about how disappointed Mom would be if she knew what I'd been up to in the oasis made me sizzle with shame. My scalp felt like it was on fire, and for some weird reason, my feet were itching like crazy. I scratched the left one until it bled. I only caught a few hours of sleep that night. At sunrise, I skipped my morning routine and headed directly for the oasis. This time, I didn't have any trouble finding the way. When I got to the place where we stashed the ATV, I saw the biggest, thickest, ugliest mother of a snake slithering along the front grill of the machine.
Ah!
I was in such a panic, I tripped over my own feet, trying to run away. Staggering back up, I bolted out of the oasis and into the desert hills, just for good measure. I was glad no one was around to see me acting like such a wussy. I knew the snake wasn't trying to strike. It felt more like it was mocking me. I learned in one of my classes, snakes can only travel the length of their own body in a single movement, meaning all you have to do is back up a few feet to get away from them. Too bad I hadn't taken that into consideration when I was acting all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. My teacher also said, if a snake won't move, all you need to do is get a long stick and fling it out of your path. This wasn't as easy as it sounds. Most of the trees around here are stubby cedars or pinyon. I was sweaty and irritated by the time I was able to find even a short stick. By then, the snake had taken off. In his place was Skitters, grinning like the Cheshire Cat from his spot in the cargo bin. I was surprised that Skitters walked all the way out to the oasis. He's become somewhat of a lardvark and is used to having humans drive him wherever he wants to go. For the record, I've never met a cat who likes to get out as much as Skitters. Riding back to Gecko's Gulch, I decided if I really wanted to help Mom, I should stop being such a whiner. The first thing I did was call a lady named Nadine Reinhardt McElprang Stratton via Pondo Davenport Milner. She used to own this awesome place in Naval called A Taste of Heaven Bakery. Nadine is living somewhere else now, with her fifth husband, but her sister wives still run the bakery. These gals aren't like the polygamists in Zion Flats, although they all got hitched to a mentally handicapped guy who used to live there. Nadine says the only way they could stop this poor dude from being abused was for a bunch of them to marry him. Things sure are different in Utah. I first met Nadine when she came to Gecko's Gulch for Scotty and Blue's wedding. Nadine is known around here as being a master baker. Stop snickering. I'm talking pastries here. Blue says Nadine threw in the dish towel, when her doctor threatened to cut her legs off if she didn't do something about her diabetes. Nadine went cold turkey on the sugar, developing a bunch of healthy food recipes which are still used at Gecko's Gulch. Nadine warned Blue she'd better stay married because her wedding was the last time she was ever going to make her pumpkin spice cake again, at least using the original recipe. Nadine had sent a gluten-free version of the cake UPS for Moon and Blue's Halloween birthday party. Everyone at Gecko's Gulch agreed. That cake was a complete party foul. Sensing a rare chance to learn how to cook something from Nadine that people actually liked, I volunteered to help make the 3-tiered pumpkin spice cake for Blue's wedding. Because even the smallest layer was the size of a hubcap, we made everything at a Taste of Heaven bakery. Nadine turned out to be the pastry-making equivalent of Michelangelo, both the painter and the Ninja Turtle. Every fresh pumpkin that was pureed, every teaspoon of clove that was ground, was done with total flair. In the background, a boombox blasted songs like Run Around Sue and Stone Soul Picnic. There was so much flour in the air, it looked like it was snowing. When the individual layers were pulled from the oven, Nadine's sister wives stopped what they were doing and applauded. The cakes were glorious. They smelled so awesome, I had to fight back the urge to lick them. Gawking like a total wonk, I watched, fascinated, as Nadine expertly used a pastry bag to make roses and fancy scrolls out of cream cheese frosting. It was white on white perfection. I could hardly wait for Blue to serve it at the wedding. I had this flaky idea that I could sharpen my cooking skills this summer. It was a bummer to find out the only thing getting sharper in the kitchen at Gecko's Gulch was a crabby cook named Arinda. A few months ago, Moon hired Arinda to be Zion Flatt's answer to Seinfeld's soup Nazi. Arinda didn't waste one nanosecond, making it clear she doesn't like little brown boys. The specific word she used was Lamanite. I had to look that one up. Get this. According to the Mormons, Lamanites are the rotten people who got dark skin as a punishment from God. Yep, confirmation on that one. Being brown can definitely feel like a punishment. Don't believe me? Try boarding a plane with dark skin and a name like Taj. The only reason I even fly is because my parents work for the airlines and their coworkers know I'm not going to light my underpants on fire. I was way too humiliated to tell anyone about the whole Lamanite thing. Brandon would have mouthed off for sure. He already calls Arinda Chewbacca behind her back. Maybe the reason Arinda is so mean is because she's built like a linebacker and has more facial hair than most men. If my parents ever found out about this Lamanite issue, they'd yank me out of here quicker than I can list the ingredients in a 7-layer dip. The best thing I can do is lay low and hope Arinda doesn't try to throttle me with her meaty hands. I'm not the only one around here who is scared of Arinda. Evangeline, the daughter of her dead sister wife, acts like Arinda could poison her at any moment. Evangeline is only 5 years old, but she slaves away helping another polygamous lady clean the compound. They show up 5 days a week with a van full of other women who work for Good Karma, Moon's skincare company. The name cracks me up, since none of the people from Zion Flats have any idea what Good Karma even is. Then there's Evangeline, a little kid who always looks like she's just seen a ghost. Evangeline's dad was supposedly in the mob. They used to live at this eerie place called Juniper Hollow. At some point, Evangeline's dad either took off or was murdered. That same evening, Evangeline's mom killed herself. Now, Evangeline is stuck with Arinda. Brandon likes to sleep in, so I'm always up way before him. I like to go for a swim and then fix myself a big breakfast before Arinda thunders into the kitchen to spread her special brand of sunshine. Moon says the women from Zion Flats never get enough to eat, even though they all receive food stamps from the government. One of the perks of working at Good Karma is that they get free meals. Granted, it's all health food prepared by an angry racist, but it's probably better than eating nothing. Breakfast at Gecko's Gulch is never going to score high on anyone's Yelp reviews, so I chow down before Arinda and the other workers show up. The polygamous ladies eat together in the break room of Moon's laboratory. Evangeline, who's about as skinny as my mom, never sits with them. Arinda sets out a plate for Evangeline, like she's feeding a dog. There's a stone bench in a corner of the courtyard at Gecko's Gulch. It's hidden from general eyesight by a wall of honeysuckle bushes. It's a pleasant, shady spot that most people overlook. Evangeline isn't one of them. I've seen her duck behind the hedge with her food a bunch of times. Skitters always goes back there with her. What a scammer. It's not like everyone else isn't always feeding him. Now he's taking food from the mouth of a starving girl? I made it a point to try and fill Skitters up when I had my own breakfast, hoping he'd give Evangeline a break. To see if my plan was working, I climbed up on top of the adobe wall and spied down on her. Evangeline looked very determined to feed Skitters. He didn't seem all that hungry. I noticed she fed him a little bit of everything on her plate, like she was testing the food to see if it would kill the cat. Arinda sets out breakfast stuff for the workers and then makes a big lunch for everyone at Gecko's Gulch. Before leaving with the Zion Flats crew in the afternoon, Arinda usually starts something for dinner, like a stew or roast. This doesn't leave me much time for experimenting in the kitchen. I wasn't about to let this surly Ewok spoil my summer. Getting hired at a Taste of Heaven bakery felt like sweet revenge. At first, I worried Brandon would think I was some kind of girly man for working at a bakery. I was relieved to be wrong about that. Everything they serve at Gecko's Gulch is what Moon calls spa cuisine. Brandon calls it blah cuisine. As a result, donuts and cookies are a high-value commodity, at least as far as Brandon and Blue are concerned. I've become their new sugar daddy. I was only offered Friday and Saturday shifts at the bakery. They both start at 6 a.m., which is plenty early, even for me. Randall is hosting a Zumba class at his beauty salon, so he's okay with driving me in at such a wicked hour. Weirdly, Brandon comes along with us. He sleeps in Randall's van until it gets hot, which is usually around 7:30 or 8. After that, he straggles into the bakery for breakfast, then heads off to the library. Brandon isn't exactly what I would call a good student. I was curious about this sudden change. I busted into a grin when Brandon told me he thought Arinda might have been involved in a few murders. No one ever found Evangeline's dad, and lots of people question Arinda's story that Evangeline's mom killed herself after eating a hallucinogenic plant called belladonna. Randall and Moon say people die mysteriously all the time at Juniper Hollow, and no one cares. Brandon does. I do too, but for different reasons.
Skitters the cat hates Blue McKenna more than digesting hairballs. That's why he's especially irked to find that even in death, Blue won't give him a break. Adding insult to injury, Skitters is the only one who can help Blue find her way out of a hellish nightmare involving the DMV. Skitters can't get in a decent nap until he helps Blue cross over. And that's the rub. Get all the scratchy details in Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Get ghosted today on Audible, Downpour, and Spotify. Meow, kitties.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.